Okay, I'll go ahead and go through these questions one more time before we get started. My name is Brian, and my email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com. Here are quite a few more people joining us, so I'll go through this at least one more time. My email address, again, is editor@marketingexperiments.com. You should have all received an email from that address about an hour ago with a reminder, a link to log into the notes for today's conference. If for some reason you didn't receive that, you can either email me at editor@marketingexperiments.com or point your web browser directly to mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. And we'll ask you to refresh that page a few times throughout the conference as we add some data and other notes. Key commands on your telephone you might find useful. *6 will increase the volume on your line. *4 will increase the volume on your line. *6 will mute your line and unmute your line. One more time, that URL is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. Some upcoming research and web clinics that we have scheduled. On Wednesday, June 13th, that's 3 weeks from today, we will have our next web clinic. That's at the same time, 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 8 p.m. GMT. And the topic that day will be increasing the conversion rate or optimizing the conversion rate for your website. So if you'd like to participate in that clinic, you can email me again at editor@marketingexperiments.com, and I will get a spot reserved for you. Some upcoming research that we have scheduled. We will be releasing our pay-per-click ad copy brief in just the next few days. Our overstock auctions brief, which we hosted a clinic on a few weeks ago, we're doing some additional research, so that brief should be ready in the next couple weeks as well. And other research includes testing order path and testing conversion rate. If you're in a noisy room, we do ask that you hit *6 to mute your line, and then you'll have to hit *6 again to unmute it if you have any questions. You can find a brief biography of Dr. Flint McLaughlin at the bottom of your notes. He will be our primary speaker this afternoon, and at this time I'd like to introduce Dr. McLaughlin.
All right, Brian, thank you very much. I'm joined by a number of researchers from our staff and also a guest research group that we worked with on this project, Jenny Lingam and clicks2customers.com, done some work in this area, and we're going to get right to the topic in a few minutes. Jalali Hartman, who is a senior analyst with our group in strategy and is a co-founder of Infopia.com, and is on the line along with Aaron Rosenthal, who is a leading expert, really one of the leading experts in the country on pay-per-click and is a senior analyst with our group. In addition to that, there are some others joining us from my staff that we may bring in as they need to be. Jimmy Ellis, for instance, an expert in optimization, and may have him as well. Brian, I'm going to let you give the instructions one last time, and I'm going to begin.
Sure thing. For those of you who just joined us, the URL for the notes is mecgroups.com/MEC_research_log. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com if you have any questions or if you need that URL again. And we'll ask you to refresh that page several times throughout the conference. Also, if you're in a noisy room, we do ask that you hit *6 to mute your line.
Okay. Our topic, as many of you know, is click fraud, and it is generally defined as any pay-per-click activity that originates in some just attempt to drain an advertiser's budget. Especially for high-priced search terms, advertisers will sometimes attempt to drive up their competitors' marketing costs by clicking on their ads. Caused quite a stir on the internet, and it has additionally been motivated by revenue generated by pay-per-click engine affiliate networks, and most of the pay-per-click search engines have systems in place to identify click fraud and not charge the advertiser for fraudulent clicks. Google, the largest pay-per-click driven engine, seems to be able to detect rapid, successive clicking from the same person or IP address. However, individuals or organizations conducting click fraud have more advanced cloaking technologies that may circumvent these preventative systems. I just want to break from my notes and let you know I'm going to kind of give you a quick background, and then we're going to discuss a couple of experiments coming up, one in which we actually tried to see if we could more or less get away with click fraud and doing it in such a way as not harming any other advertiser. We set up a scenario and tested the system, and we're going to tell you what we discovered. And then working with the group at Click to Customers, we analyzed data connected with another attempt on a more sophisticated level to measure the impact of click fraud. So we'll be releasing charts and data. I'm going to get through the background of that and then get right down to the real question that I think many of us had, and that is, how significant is the problem? And really, how can you avoid experiencing the problem? So with that in mind, I'll just give you a little bit of background and we'll get started. In click fraud cases that we've investigated, it appears that click fraud criminals are using rolling IP distributed attacks from multiple countries. May have also organized human click fraud campaigns using low-cost third-world labor. In Google, impression fraud is an additional form of click fraud that is equally problematic. Impression fraud occurs when criminals manipulate the number of page impressions for a given search term. When an advertiser's relative click-through rate, that's their CTR, decreases, their search term is suspended because of low CTR performance. It's a window of opportunity for other advertisers to which they can obtain higher search rankings at lower cost due to the crippled competition. Revenue generated by click fraud varies greatly depending on whom you ask, but many agree that if click fraud were completely eliminated, all the major pay-per-click engines would suffer a significant blow to the revenue and share prices. But these pay-per-click companies also realize that the long-term health of the industry depends on maintaining the trust of their advertisers. So we've asked the question, how significant is the problem of click fraud? And we've begun to do a little background research. We've conducted a literature review, which will be appended to the report that we send out when we release this to our journal subscribers. The report will have a kind of a list of all the various sources on the net that we reviewed and rated on a scale of 1 to 5 as to their usefulness. So you'll get that. And we've also, you know, looked at some relevant data in preparation for our test. And if you'll look in your notes, we have a chart there. SEMPO, which is the Search Engine Marketing Professional Organization, recently did a study that shows many advertisers do not recognize click fraud as a significant problem. If you'll look at the chart, you'll notice the information from this survey. And you'll notice four columns of information. And we could read through each column, but the bottom line is simply this. The click fraud may be a significant problem, perhaps 70%. Only 25% of all advertisers have actually tracked click fraud. And, you know, Brian, I don't know if you've got these quotes to refresh in their notes or not, but you may go ahead and drop the quotes in from some of the other experts. I mean, in the CFO for Google, George Reyes, says that click fraud is probably the biggest threat to the internet economy, and he quoted the Wall Street Journal saying that. The senior director of product management at Yahoo says anyone who says this is not a real challenge is kidding you, and there's more on that in sources that we'll drop into your notes. But we decided in typical MEC style to go past the aggregate research and drill down simply with a primary research project, and that's test click fraud itself. So in an attempt to defraud Google's AdSense system. Now, I know I'm getting in trouble when I say that, but we did it in a way that protected both Google and us. The content-based affiliate-driven element of AdWords, we created a search term that would not receive any other bids. That way, again, it wouldn't cost anyone else money. We bid on the term. You may see it in your notes. Dorf Tiglilk, if you're trying to pronounce that properly, which is essentially click fraud spelled backwards. And then we created just a stunning ad for it, and I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek. It's called The Latest Spy Equipment, Bug Your Neighbor, blah, blah, blah. We didn't really want anyone to click on this ad except those that, you know, would allow us to see if we could click on it and generate click fraud. So it's not an attractive ad. It's certainly not a term that anyone else would use. And if you'll look in your notes, you'll see a copy of that ad as it appeared in Google. Once this was done, we then attempted to create an ad sense page that would serve this ad. And there's a link. What is the number? Is it number one in your notes or number two, Brian?
That link is actually right under the copy. It's not a numbered link, but It's in the notes there, right under the ad copy.
You'll see the link. You'll see the AdSense ad. And candidly, we never managed to get the AdSense account to serve our ad, even though it was the only ad for the search term. So we moved on to just searching for DwarfClick on Google's main site. And then we were able to pull up our ad and attempt to run up fraudulent clicks. Now, I guess I don't need to keep saying this, but the fraudulent clicks would benefit Google, as they would still get paid, but they would cost us as part of our research cost. I know the big question I would have if I were you is, so how easy is it? Were you able to do anything at all that would result in, say, damage to a potential competitor, or damage to yourself? If you look in your notes, there should be a chart that we're refreshing yet again, and it'll show you successive clicks from one set of, we did this multiple times. But we had 10 different parties clicking on the ad, and then we had, clicks, or we had an individual clicking with an anonymizer, and then we were clicking on the ad with a different computer and the same IP address, and then we clicked on the ad with different computers and different IP addresses. And with a multiple of 10, in the first instance, there was 0 registered by Google, and in the other instances, there was 1 click. So then what you need to understand, essentially, is that based on this test, it does not appear that a competing individual or company could do too much damage to someone simply by clicking on your ad over and over. Now, that's in Google. That certainly doesn't speak for all the engines. And it doesn't answer the question that I, had immediately and that you would have also. I mean, the results are encouraging, but they do not address the larger problem of individuals or companies defrauding pay-per-click engines with more sophisticated software or organizational efforts. And so working with a group based in California and South Africa, I'll click to customers, and their link is in your notes also. We reviewed data from a unique click tracking tool that creates and measures a unique click ID for each click. Now, this ID is created based on something different. It's based on a number of characteristics that they believe to be statistically significant. And the tool was used in creating the 3 campaigns below, and we're going to kind of study them in just a moment. Let me just give you the specifics. All 3 campaigns ran over a 10-day period. Duplicates were determined by comparing IP address, language, browser setting, referring URL, time of click, operating system, browser plugin, and country. Campaign A was implemented for a finance company with a high-end $1 to $2 cost per click. Campaign B was for a travel company with a range 0.20 to 0.30 cents cost per click. Campaign C was for a jobs company with a low 0.05 to 0.15 cents cost per click. Now, you may check your notes as we refresh the table in front of you. Has that table been dropped in, Brian?
Yes. If everyone will refresh their page, they should see it now.
You're going to see the actual chart. I know it's difficult to follow my words without the visuals. Bear in mind, we'll be releasing the report that has all of this information for you. Data that we collected. We're still doing final studying and getting feedback from you in our conference before we prepare the final version. You study the chart. Campaign A had a total amount of clicks of 34,763. Campaign B had 12,790. Campaign C had 4,184. What's most fascinating is the second line of that chart. You want to pay attention to the line duplicate clicks, and you'll see that it measures 10,268 duplicate clicks. 1,257 on campaign B, 349 on campaign C. And even as those numbers are descending, so is the overall clicks on campaign A, B, and C. Now, the third line is the shocking line, and I want to emphasize the word alleged. First of all, I do not hold the crystal ball that unlocks all the mysteries of Google's systems and processes, nor do I want to accuse Google of either poor click tracking system. I wouldn't be afraid to do so if I had absolute conclusive data. I would have to say exactly what it is. That's our job. But I don't have the kind of ironclad data that gives me the right to accuse them of not being able to track click fraud properly, nor do I would I infer that, you know, it's to their advantage or somehow they aren't trying to do so. But I will say this. Using these unique click IDs and comparing all of these variables, there were essentially 29.5% the ratio of clicks that did not that looked like click fraud was 29.5% in campaign A, and 9.8 and 8.3 in campaign C. And all of us who are involved here in tracking ROI know that that metric, those numbers right there, can be the difference between make or break in calculating your ROI, or in, you know, whether or not a campaign is successful. Never mind the fact, never mind the fact that your overall costs have gone up by that factor. Bear in mind that there's a secondary cost that you have to bear in mind, and that is that you may cancel a campaign that actually was successful and thereby lose the opportunity income because you're not achieving your ROI targets or achieving the CPA or customer acquisition number that you felt you need to. So it's also interesting if you look at the chart, the number of clicks billed by Google, slightly different. I've seen this before in other research we've done for each of these than what we recorded. You'll also notice that the Google credits in campaign A, campaign B, and campaign C were actually really quite minimal compared to the issue itself. The non-credited fraudulent clicks, which is your last column, your second to last column here moving down the page, very significant. Most importantly, the final column, your cost to advertiser for each of these campaigns, is notated with campaign A costing nearly, well, just over $1,000. What you need to understand is that this random sample showed as much as 29.5% in potential click fraud. Fraud seemed to increase as the bid price increased. Now, that's a very important note. You may wonder why the ratios drop in B and C. We are not saying this is why, but it's interesting that campaign A had the most expensive $1 to $2 per click, you know, high-end in terms of its overall CPC. And it's the one that had the highest amount of what appears to be duplicate clicks. Google only seemed to detect a very small percentage of this fraud. So the data seems to indicate that click fraud may be a larger problem than we're aware of. But until more information becomes available, until we understand Google better, until more research is done, we can't pronounce anything definitive. But I know what we have to do, and that is, as marketers, we have to remain vigilant against the dangers of click fraud because it can make a significant impact on everything we're trying to accomplish. I'm going to stop before I talk about in just a moment what we can do as a group to avoid click fraud, and I'm going to ask if there's any input from Jalali or from Vinny through your group or anyone that would from our, you know, any one of our researchers that wants to clarify anything I've said thus far.
And I would just note that I've manually muted most of the lines, so you may have to hit star 6 to unmute your line if you have a question or comment.
Brian is Brian has to do that to keep the background noise down. If you would like to hit your star 6 and so that you can talk, feel free to do so. Jalali, have I covered that well? You're the chief researcher on this project.
Yeah, I think you did a good job summarizing it. I think just you know, going into this, we had a lot of people when we first started talking to you, particularly pay-per-click marketers. There seemed to be this perception that there was that click fraud was a huge problem, but really, when we looked at it, we couldn't, you know, the first round of testing, we didn't find we couldn't pinpoint a lot of fraud. It was very difficult to tell actually what was going on, and as we worked with clicks to customers and their group and started to do our own testing, we started to understand a little bit better. I think the key to this that I realized when I was doing this is that as that bid price increases, so does the apparent click fraud, which would make sense if there are people out there trying to manipulate and trying to earn AdSense revenue and so on. They're you know, they're obviously going to target the highest paying keywords. The other thing that you talked about just for a second that was interesting is the whole concept of impression fraud, which, you know, just as we're barely trying to understand click fraud, people have figured out it's almost an even more difficult problem to solve, and that's impression fraud. And it took me a minute to understand what that is, but essentially you go into a campaign, you go to a search result in Google, and you refresh the page enough times so that the relative click-through rate goes down and Google suspends the ad. Right? And during that window, while you're trying to get your ad back and your keywords back, competitor comes in and gets the word for half the price. If you think about just trying to detect that, obviously there's some issues around that. So,
absolutely. So the question that begs itself is, what can be done right now to help prevent click fraud? And I have to say the answer isn't complete, but we can begin to give you some things that we've discovered through this fairly long, perilous process that has led up to this report that we're getting ready to release. We essentially, using simple methods, tried more than one experiment in an attempt to understand click fraud, and over again, we saw that unsophisticated competitor, and often that's the ones that some of your small retailers who are most frightened of click fraud, it's their competition down the street they're most worried about. When I say down the street, I'm talking metaphorically. And essentially, they're afraid he's going to go in and just drive up their cost with, you know, multiple clicks on their Google ad. But the reality is that's not possible, at least it was not possible for us to duplicate on that small scale. But on the large scale, as we discussed in the data we just looked at, by sophisticated cloaking, it seems to be quite possible. And I want to point out that the experiment that you see that we talked about in this second group of experiments, this was not done by us. We did not go in and, as a part of the test, do this using this cloaking measure. We were simply measuring existing campaigns and trying to detect what fraud might be taking place. And when I say we, I'm speaking inclusively with the group that came up essentially with the click tracking concept, this unique way to identify a click. But I just want to point out that with that in mind, there's some more research that really needs to be done. And we're thinking now about that. Those of you on the phone that are qualified and would like to talk about that, feel free to email us, discuss what could be done to help address this more effectively. In the meantime, I want to talk now about what we can do to prevent click fraud now with the information we do have. So,
can I ask a question first?
Please, go ahead. And your name is?
My name is Doug Newberry from Investing Systems.
Yes, Doug.
My question is, on these campaigns, was this search results or content results or a portion of both?
Dalali, would you like to answer that? Or Vinny, either one.
Yes, Vinny, are you on? I believe it was a combination of both. That's something that we know. I don't have right in front of me. I don't have the actual research right in front of me, but it was probably what you're wondering is it more prevalent in the content versus main?
Well, yeah, that's what the rumor is. So I was just curious if the data were to support that, and if in the future studies, if you would check that separately, and that would be interesting to know.
Okay.
Yes, it would. And I think we have a set of data like that, which you'll probably see in the final report coming out, Doug. And I want to be careful about what I say right now without the full data sets in front of me. But in the preliminary data in my last review, I know that we were looking at both aspects in this. What I would think is a relevant number is the percentage between the two, and we may be able to provide that with this data, or it may require a secondary experiment. It's a good point.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I'm going to move into the six steps. We may have more questions. Feel free to interject or ask questions as we go through them. But these are six things that you may want to do that will help protect you. Number one, carefully monitor rapid drops in website conversion with corresponding spikes in paid search traffic. type of rapid change in metrics could indicate someone or something is manipulating your search campaign. Large amounts of click traffic with no new sales or leads often indicates click fraud, particularly if you have historical data that shows a higher average website conversion rate from the same core search terms. Now, if you follow what that paragraph is saying, you need to watch for a sudden drop in conversion corresponding to a sudden increase in traffic or in clicks, put it that way. Now, I tell you that, and as a side, not referring to my notes but drawing from personal experience, I recall a time on the net not too long ago when one of the major search groups, whose name I will not say, it was not Google, and this major search group had something happen, and here's what we discovered. We had a major research partner who suddenly woke up to one morning to discover that they were getting a great deal of traffic, but that conversion had tanked, and that essentially they were losing money, and they were losing, you know, significant money. In my estimation, in one case I saw, it was $16,000 that day. Now, it went on, and they immediately contacted the major search engine, who denied that anything was happening. But what this major search engine didn't know is that we were monitoring multiple campaigns. We've had in Google, and this, again, this wasn't Google, but we've had as many as a million keywords in Google, and monitoring, you know, large blocks of search terms. And what we discovered was, all the way across the board, in every single account we had, with every single research partner in that, who, you know, we had going on with an account in that search engine, the same event took place. And we watched them categorically deny it to each one of the partners without knowing that we were monitoring all of it. So in our case, I put a call into the chief technical officer of the organization, said something's not right, you are not sharing all the information. And when he started to deny it, I brought up the data from multiple campaigns. I won't go into the call. All I can tell you is he never admitted anything, but it stopped shortly thereafter, and certain groups on our list, refunds were generated. Now, was it a click fraud issue? Honestly, I don't know. But one of the other things you need to watch for, which is just as bad as click fraud, and which could occur for you and you not know whether it's click fraud or not, is sometimes these new engines will take on a new partner. And the new partner will drive lots of traffic into the engine. And when they do, you'll get the traffic, but the traffic comes from such a bad source that conversion tanks. When there's an aggressive build mode in an engine and they're doing all of these partnerships with other search groups driving more and more traffic, they take on a partner with poor conversion. They'll immediately get a windfall because they'll get, all of a sudden everyone will get more clicks, but you'll get a major loss because your traffic source has changed. You had no warning. So that's number one. Number two, implement a click fraud tracking tool, and there are several monitoring tools that will study and search for irregular patterns in your click traffic and flag potential fraud. I think, in fact, that if you're wondering who some of these groups are, one of those is a group we work with now, Click to Customers, and another is Click Centennial, and another is Click Authority, and another is Keyword Max. And all of this will be dropped into the notes that we release to you later.
Clint, most of those are actually in the URLs 2 through 6 in the notes.
Okay, so you'll find those in your notes now. Also, I might point out with one of a smaller retailer who we know has done, and I provide this more for anecdotal information, but I think you'd find it fascinating. He uploads IP addresses of people who appear to be clicking over and over on his ads. And although this may not actually be charging him, based on, you know, the tracking systems of some of the engines, it does discourage people. And he sends them to a page on his site. Now, again, I'm not advocating this, but I think it's a bit humorous. If you'll go to the URL, what is the number, Brian?
Sorry, which?
It's the Sunglass International.
We actually pulled that from the list at the person's request.
Oh,
can add
okay.
It back
well,
if you'd like.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Then I can't show you, but I won't tell you what the URL is precisely, but I can tell you that he has an unpleasant picture waiting for those that come back. An example of a small retailer who's just afraid he's going to lose money on these guys and doesn't want to do so. So you could study the IP addresses, but your best solution is to implement a click fraud tracking tool. Number three, pay attention to the search terms that have been deactivated in your Google account because of apparent low conversion. If the campaigns have been running for some time successfully and suddenly some of your key terms have been deactivated, it may indicate impression fraud. So number three is to pay attention to the search terms that have been deactivated in your Google account because of apparent low conversion. Most of you know how that works. If you don't get enough clicks, if your conversion isn't good enough, then the actual term can be deactivated and it no longer shows up in Google. Watch for that because it may be, sometimes it can be an indication of impression fraud. Number four, report any click fraud to Google so that their fraud team can attempt to identify the source. Google has various click fraud screening tools that monitor all click traffic, and they have even more advanced screening tools that their staff uses to identify the source of click fraud. And like spam, we believe much of the click fraud comes from just a handful of criminals. I'm going to go on to 5 and 6 in just a moment, but is there anything, Jalali, you would want to add to this, or Aaron? Aaron's a pay-per-click expert from our staff that's online. Either one of you have anything to add to what we've said so far about these three or four points?
No, I think you've pretty much covered it.
Okay. All right, number 5, monitor your traffic in general on a daily basis. By implementing an accurate web analytics tool, you can monitor the quality of your traffic. Now, that may sound quite obvious, but candidly, we're constantly dealing with large and small groups, but even some of the largest publishers, for instance, in the world, who do not have any system in place for carefully monitoring what's happening in their campaigns. And candidly, with our own research partners, we do it manually. We don't trust software in itself to tell us something is wrong. We want experts who are thinking to be studying these campaigns and noting the differences. Number 6, the more a PPC engine depends on affiliates for its traffic, the more susceptible it will be to fraud. Traffic quality tends to be better on Google, Yahoo, and Lycos, for example, because each of these sites has its own branded destination where consumers go to search. However, smaller pay-per-click engines often rely exclusively on partner sites for traffic. Now, if you follow what that point is talking about, a lot of the smaller engines get most of their traffic from partner sites, and in the way that I discussed in the earlier example, the wrong partners can drive lots of traffic, but poor conversion. So then, essentially, these are 6 keys. This is the data that we've discovered. I'm not going to take belabor the data itself. Soon we're going to be releasing it in a written report with all of the information and also our literature review. I'm just going to let you ask me any questions you might have before we close out the conference and prepare the rest of this documentation. Also, if you have thoughts or ideas that don't come up in the conference about this or other examples, please feel free to email the editorial staff so that we can prepare before we release the final report with all of our data and notes. Someone have any questions now based on the research that we've just discussed?
Yeah, I have a question.
Certainly. Can you just tell us your first name if you have a question?
Okay. Michael, you refer to the search engines having partners through which they get their traffic. Can you speak a little more about that, like the nature of the partnerships the smaller engines get into and who these partners are?
I can, Aaron, would you like to address that? Mute his line. Aaron Rosenthal. All right. I'm not sure if we lost Aaron, so I'll answer the question myself. Nick and Jimmy, are you on the phone also?
It's Vinny. Hi.
And Vinny's on the phone also. Vinny, you can feel free to answer that. I mean, but the reality is a lot of the smaller engines put deals with either engines that are smaller than them or with high traffic sites. And it's really quite difficult when you get into Yahoo, for instance, originally to try and track through their metrics tool where your traffic comes from. One of the things that's very confusing is the traffic itself flowing into your Yahoo store. I'm assuming you have, assuming that in the case of Yahoo store, you'll discover there's all kinds of little engines that are not even listed on the main search engine site who are actually the source of the traffic that's coming through to your Yahoo store, and you can't hardly sort out where it comes from unless you have some type of tracking mechanism. Yahoo's metrics tool has been unable to identify those because there's so many partnership deals between the smaller engines like AHA and others. Vinny, if you'd like to answer it, go ahead.
Sir, I didn't get the full question. I just got in. Can you just repeat the full question for me, please?
Yeah, okay. I'll repeat the question. Dr. McLaughlin was talking about the smaller search engines going into partnerships and floods of low-quality traffic coming into those search engines through these partners. And I was looking for some amplification on, you know, who these partners are, what are these sites that provide traffic to the smaller search engines.
Sure. Look, it's the model's not dissimilar to what Overture or Yahoo does and Google do, but all that really happens is they take on smaller sites. And what I've, really what the model is, they go after a small niche site in a certain market space, call it a vertical search engine, which is dealing with product feeds from, games, electronic games, that type of thing. And they'd have a search box on the site, and the webmaster would promote the site and say, hey, looking for games, use our search functionality. And they might have, a million visitors a month. And of those million visitors, 10% use the site. There you go. You get 100,000 searches going through that small search box on a small little portal. And the traffic quality might not be great, or it might be good depending on how they do it. What we found is with these smaller engines, the key differentiator is that the search is not initiated by the user. So in other words, the user is not typing in the keyword games. The user is clicking a link, which then pulls up search results for that keyword. And what we found in our testing is that when the user clicks a link to pull up results as opposed to typing in that word, the quality of traffic differs immensely. And that seems to be what's holding back a lot of the smaller engines, because they promote or they allow people to use search results from clicked links, if that makes any sense. I'm sure you've come across some of these domain names, misspelled domain names, where you mistype the domain name and you get a directory on your page.
Yeah.
And it says, debt consolidation, loans, mortgage, a whole bunch of keywords on the page, and if you click any of those keywords, you get results. And that quality is what kills the smaller engines, because they use that model we've seen quite a bit to try and boost the traffic.
Exactly.
But on the, if I got time for a follow-up question?
Please, go ahead.
If I go to AdSense, I can actually, is it AdSense? Anyway, I can put a Google search box on my site. Anyone can.
Sure.
Does that mean
yeah.
then that the quality from those searches is perceived as being of lower quality, or am I missing something?
No, that's very different, because there the user's typing in a search term that they'd like to search Google for. I'm speaking about the people who don't enter into a search box any particular word, but they click an existing word on a site which pulls up results.
Oh, okay, I understand.
And,
right,
also, AdSense, for what it's worth, the same principle applies. We did you can read our briefing on AdSense, and what you'll discover is that in our studies, conversion out of the AdSense program is not nearly as high as conversion out of the AdWords program itself. And you have
Absolutely.
The option to turn that off. And so you'll find that, it doesn't work as well in AdSense either. It just works a lot worse in these engines when you're not even dealing with relevant context. So
we found the click-through in AdSense is very high. It's very high because obviously the guys are getting a cut on the website, so we tend to get a lot of clicks from the same source or similar sources.
Absolutely.
Which look dubious.
Absolutely. Any other questions? Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
Doug again. Is there a way to find out how much of an effect spyware is having on the pay-per-click industry, since it seems that spyware tends to infect boxes with changing your home page to a pay-per-click engine as compared to the old way of doing it, which they would change it to a porn thing or something?
Benny, go ahead and answer that.
It's a very difficult one, and there's some things, unfortunately, I can't disclose right now, but there's a huge click-fraud problem with that, and I've managed to notify Google about it, and they're looking into that. But there is a huge security flaw with that sort of behavior. The problem really sits in where if they launch the user onto a page where there are keywords which are embedded in the page which the user clicks, you're going to have that problem, absolutely. But we found when the spyware guys launch a user onto a page with just a search box, and the user types in a search term and actually is genuinely looking for that keyword, the results tend to be okay.
Thank you.
Well, go ahead.
No, I said thank you.
Okay, thank you, Doug. All right. Well, I'm going to draw this to a close. And
we have a question if we have a minute.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
My name's Scott. We have two questions. One is, do you recommend using, third parties to, and like some of the ones you've listed on your site here to help identify fraud, or do you see people having just as much success trying to track it internally through their own tracking mechanisms? And secondly, what kind of information would we need to provide Google and Overture and others to get them to believe that it's fraud? And have you gotten any sense for the success rate people have in getting credits from them?
Okay, those are both good questions. I'll answer the first, and I'll let Vinny answer the second. Personally, what I've discovered is that, number one, you're better off to get a third-party solution. Don't completely depend on it, but get a third-party solution. I think Vinny's group offers one, and you may want to look at his group. By the way, he's not an advertiser with us. I hope you know that we have a data relationship with them. Vinny's a small group, and we're not affiliates, and we have nothing to gain from this report that we're giving to you right now through Vinny's group. I was just impressed with what they were trying to accomplish, and so we teamed up on some research. But moving on, let me just say this. In the report we released, Scott, we'll give a list of providers, and in your notes right now there are some links with providers who try to help you track, and I do recommend a third-party solution. And I think that as for question two, what you need to provide Google, I'll let Vinny answer that. That is within his specialty.
Okay. Just in all honesty, we've had a lot more success getting refunds from Overture, Yahoo, as opposed to Google. For whatever reasons, I'm not too sure. The bottom line is, when it comes to providing information to these guys, I think what you need to do is show them a log of, for a period of time. So, you would say from the first of the month to the 30th, you received X number of clicks from the following IP addresses, and you were billed for all those clicks. Most of the time, I can just wish you luck, and we have received refunds to some extent, but we haven't really had huge success with the engines. But the problem really comes in is what they can't detect, they can't refund. So if they can't see that they're busy being click-forwarded, they're not going to refund you anything. Even if you show them the log files, sometimes their argument 99% of the time, especially when it comes to IP addresses, is that it could be a proxy server. So they don't buy the whole same IP address and is not necessarily the same user. That's what they're saying. Or isn't rather the same user.
Vinny, would you?
It's very difficult to get through to them. We've tried countless times. But having said that, we do get small refunds from time to time.
Excellent. All right.
I have just one quick question, if that's possible.
Okay, go ahead.
It's very quick. I was just curious if in any of your research you've actually employed any of the sort of readily available techniques and basically pieces of software that essentially anyone can use to exact a pretty tremendous competitive click fraud on a competitor, or to essentially just fill up their own bank account with affiliate revenue on, let's say, AdSense or any of the other smaller affiliate engines.
Yeah, just coming from us, we wouldn't try doing that at all because of the relationship we have with Google at the moment, especially in other search engines. So that would be the wrong thing to do. I can tell you that we have done security tests on a very small scale, a couple of clicks, less than 5 or 10 clicks here and there, to test certain defense mechanisms that they have, and we have proven a number of times that they don't have the defense mechanisms that they should have or they claim to have. And it actually relates a lot of times to their link serving. In other words, their ad servers and their link servers aren't very secure. So
okay. That's
all I can say. So they don't
understood.
How to cookie the user properly, and they don't detect the proxy service properly.
Sure. Vinny, can I ask you a quick question? Last one.
Sure.
This is GC from AccuWeb Hosting. I recently came to hear, I guess, from the grapevine that Google AdWords will only charge the advertiser if the visitor remains on the click-through landing page for like a specified amount of time, or if the visitor actually clicks through to multiple pages from the landing page.
No.
Can you confirm that, if that's true or not?
Currently, no. It's virtually impossible to track. And I'll tell you why. Even if the code is placed in the site, so the Google tracking code to track page views, webmasters or advertisers can easily remove that code after implementation. Or set the server to just code one in every 5 times in and increase their or decrease their marketing costs. So I seriously doubt Google will even look at that, and I know for a fact they're not doing that right now.
Yeah.
It's purely on the cost per click, and in many occasions, cost per multiple click.
And I'll tell you something. This whole thing, in my estimation, provides a significant chink in the armor of some of these dominating engines right now. And if they've got to solve this issue, because currently one of the primary advertising models on the internet is pay per click. Someone comes along with a model that addresses this more efficiently, then these big groups are going to have to contend with it. I mean, that's essentially what happened when Overture was GoTo, and they came along with their model. They basically broke the current system as we know it on the internet in terms of search. In those days, there were multiple engines, and it was a matter of hiring a search firm. And you still use search firms, but, I mean, all the rules were different, and least in general. And if someone comes along and recognizes this, there's a genuine opportunity to change the way the internet looks in the next 5 years. And I'm not trying to put any of these companies out of business. It just remains a fact. Somebody's got to solve this. And if they
absolutely.
Don't lead the way,
absolutely.
Somebody else will.
Well, for the record, what we're busy working on is something along those lines. We've been developing search engine technology, and the model really is it's a conglomerate of CPA, CPC, CPM, all the different pricing models, and our engine will work out the highest yield. So, if an advertiser said he's going to click forward too much, you switch to a different model, and if we could earn, if our engine can calculate that we can earn the effective CPC, which is higher than another advertiser paying on a CPC, we would re-rank them on that basis. So we are looking at that model, but it's very, very difficult to set up a paid search engine on that basis right now for many technical reasons. But that's really the model of the future, we believe, and I think guys like Snap.com are doing something similar, for example. So I think the model's out there. People realize it, but it hasn't really happened for many reasons right now.
And pay-per-click is essentially a variation of the magic math that has made insurance so successful. In this sense only, most people do not have either the time or the sophistication to recognize how the math is truly working, or the information, because some of it's held closely by the pay-per-click engines. But the reason that Google, weights things so that if you're getting higher conversion, you're higher up on the page is purely economic. One I want to make is that hiding in all of that math are some serious holes in the system that benefit the pay-per-click engine but don't benefit you and I. And if someone comes along and serves the market better, it's going to make a difference. I'll take one more question before we close. Anyone else want to jump in before we shut down? I want to thank everybody, and I would appreciate if you would email us and let us know if this has been helpful or what else you'd like to understand. We're working hard to try and get the information you need, and your feedback makes a big difference for us. So I invite you to write us an email and let me know. And in the meantime, I appreciate our staff, the work that was done by Jalali, and particularly on this particular research report, and Brian, who was the writer, and Vinny's group, his work there. And again, their link is on the page and numbered there if you want to visit their site. And we thank you for showing up, and we will be looking at conversion on our next call. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thanks, guys.